as I look out at you and your gentle age, how wonderful it is to see so many serving God. How wonderful that is. In my life, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. My mother went to church when she was young, but we just didn't. I didn't know, and I wasn't taught about Jesus. I wasn't taught about the church. I didn't know about the church. You do. You're close. Now, without going all the way up through everything, but up through to the place to where I God began to talk to me, and some really extraordinary things happened that was out of the norm, just not the normal. When God talks, it isn't normal. It isn't worldly. It isn't fleshly. It's God. And when He talks to us, we need to remember that realm that He's talking to us. So I'll start back when I was 30, 31 years old, married, had two little children, two little boys, 1 5 and 1 3. And up to that point, I went to the church very few times. One time down at 6th and Locust, one time here in God's Acres. And like I said, I didn't know anything about the church. Didn't know anything. I was way beyond the limited. I didn't know next to nothing about the things of God. So then, as time went on, my family was here. My brother and my sisters was here. I remember praying for them. Without prayer, wouldn't be here. Without prayer, you wouldn't be here. It is astonishing what prayer could do. So, to start out one day when I was from nowhere, my mother calls me. Now, she lived down in just north of Athens. And I lived over in Keshawe. And she called me, and I can count on one finger how many times she called me. One that day. Ever called me. She just didn't do that. She said, son, she said, I gotta tell you this. You remember Mrs. Jackson? No, Mom, I don't remember her. Well, she took care of you when you was a newborn after you come home in the hospital and you were born. Sorry, Mom. I didn't remember. A series of things happened. Way out of the norm. So then, this all the whole testimony just didn't happen in a couple days. It just didn't happen in 3 or 4 days. It happened over a period of time, so take that in consideration. So then I began to realize that I thought it was strange that she would call me. And I thought about it. So then I had a job that was really difficult. It was very hot. It was a hot job. Bad job. I was thankful for that. And one day I come home from work. Stop at a stoplight. Looking at the light, and the ambulance comes screaming by. For from nowhere. I started screaming and crying loud, sitting at a traffic light, screaming and crying. And then I stopped. I looked in the mirror, looked in my rearview mirror. I'm sitting in a car at a stoplight. Not a tear. Not one tear. Light changed. I went on through the light, and as I got on through the light, it wouldn't live too far from there. I got fear. Fear took hold of my heart. Something is going to happen. And it wasn't going to be good. That's the way it seemed to me. And it just kept going this way. I would go home. I remember going home, running out of my car, running through the front door, find my two little boys there, they are in the kitchen. I went in the kitchen, I got down on my knees and I hugged them. I realized right then that what this was about and the problem was right. Now for me to say, I didn't know God. I didn't know His voice. You do, Les. You know His voice. I didn't. And I hugged him. My wife looked at me like, of course she didn't understand. So then, some time went on, days, 2 days. I came home one day, I just wore out. The fear had so gripped my heart, it just took my strength. It took my strength and my thinking. And it's dangerous. The line of work that I was in, to have that fear on you, around electrical work, 480 volts, ever worked it every day. You touch it in the wrong place, you're dead. You're grounded in the right place, even 120 volts. You're dead. I come in the house and I was just so worn. So worn out. I was doing everything I could to satisfy this flesh and to make Randy happy. I had a band I was playing out in the honky-tonks and the beer joints and the nightclubs. Was booked a year and a half ahead. Contracts. And I was working 5 days, Monday through Friday, and I worked a Saturday or Sunday every week. Not to mention all the overtime that I worked too. I was very busy. I was just too busy for God. Don't get that way. If you view yourself doing that, don't do that. Don't get so busy that you don't have time to pray. So I came in the house that day and I just fell on the floor. I just fell down on the floor and I was laying there, my eyes closed. The next thing that happened wasn't normal. I was laying there with my eyes closed on the living room of my house, and all of a sudden I wasn't in the living room of my house. I was standing in the balcony, God's acres. I was standing in the balcony at God's acres. And I looked, I knew where I was, I'd been there once. And there was a church service going on. And I looked, I knew where I was. And then God has this way, even somebody that has no spiritual understanding at all. He has his way of communicating with you. He knows how to communicate with people like me and you. And I saw that, and a thought came to my mind, the Lord wanted me to come to church. Well, you listen, I made a fatal, almost fatal mistake. These are the words I said up here. Up here. I don't want nothing to do with this, Lord. Religion, I don't want nothing to do with this. Big mistake. When God talks to you, give him the right answer and obey him. Everything he does is going to benefit you. All that he does for you is just for your benefit. I made a big mistake when I said that. Days and time went on. I was at work. And the main processing center went down. And electrically, everything went down. Everything went down. Stopped. The boss says, he looked at me and my buddy. He said, you and you. Processing center down. Nobody knew why. We went up there, we stand there waiting. Boss was standing there, they were trying to figure out what was going on. They didn't know. My boss turns to me and he says, Granny, you go up and check that level in here, what we call a vindicator. It was a level device. You go up and check that. Okay. So off I went. It was on the second floor. I went up the third floor, up the stairs, up on the roof. Went out on the roof, and I looked where I was going to go. How many knows what a cracker box looks like? Everybody knows what a cracker box looks like, right?
Kind of
narrow,
right, and long,
right? That's what a cracker box is shaped like. You know, like a Zesto. Well, this building that hung up in the air, that's what it looked like. Just like a big cracker box. It was about 70, 80 feet long, about 8, 10 feet wide. It wasn't very long, and there was a rubber belt conveyor on the inside of it that ran like this. It was about 70 feet long. And up there, all the way up that ladder, went all the way up there. Now, I had my tools on me around my neck. Now, I had to climb up that ladder. It was a steel rung ladder, and there was a protective rung around the outside. It didn't happen to fall. I didn't want to do that. So I got on the ladder, and I started up the ladder. Got all the way up the ladder. Now, there was no door. There was no door to this building. That looked like it was just hanging in the air. I came right up through the bottom of the floor. That was the door. And as I come up the ladder, there was a big pipe on that end of that little building. And huge, 5 or 6 feet diameter, about this high. And the device that I was up on, my boss sent me up there to check, was right there. I could see it. And it had, I think, 8 little bolts. I had to take him 8 little bolts out. Pull the cover off. It was about like this. So, and all I had to do was take them 8 bolts out, take the cover off. And there's a little arm in there. That all you had to do was to simulate that this indicator was working. It was raised up on it. Well, I wasn't going to do that. That'd take too long. Take all them bolts off again. Take too long to do it. In my mind, I thought, well, there's an easier way. So there was a shovel. A shovel, a long handle, straight point shovel. So I picked up, and I squeezed between the wall and this big pipe that was drawn. And it was an open hole, so the big pipe was open. I went around back. There wasn't much room to get in there, and I looked down in that pipe. Now here comes the wood chips, okay? These little pieces of chips that's made of 3/4 by 3/4, 1/4 inch thick. Bunches of them on this big conveyor, okay?
big rubber conveyor, and it runs like this, and the chips were going down in this big hole, this big pipe. But that device I needed to check was over on the other side, so I took the shovel. I thought, well, that's all I've got to do. That shovel, or that device had a shaft that went through the wall, and on the inside, it had a little paddle on it that would turn like this. And when the level would come up, when the chips would build up from the inside, it would hit that little paddle, and a light would come on down at the main panel. Okay? And the interlocking system, it also, then it would shut down the chips going to the conveyor. Now I'm standing here, there's the big hole, here's the conveyor, chips just pouring in. So I take a shovel, and I put it down in there, and I'm looking down in here. I'm going to take this shovel and simulate a level that come up. So I take the shovel, it's pretty heavy. I put it right against that paddle, and it stopped it. So what should have happened? Well, electrically, a light should have come on down the main panel down the second floor. That's one. Second thing should have happened, for the amount of time that I had that off, which I counted to 10. I counted 10. I knew that. You know, she was off here. So then, there I was. I counted to 10. I pulled the shovel off. Looked on the conveyor, and there was a blank place. That told me that device is working, but I didn't know they saw the light down at the main operating panel down on the second floor. You with me? What is it, Brother Stegmaier says? Hello! So then, I thought, maybe they didn't see it. Maybe they didn't see the light down there. Or maybe the light bulb was out. They're not going to see it then. But I didn't know that. So I thought, well, I'll try that again. I did it again. Took the shovel, stuck it down in that hole. And remember now, the chips are still hundreds and hundreds of them, little ones, pouring in there. I worked around it, took the shovel, put on that little paddle, was turning like that. Held it on there, counted 10, pulled it back out. Well, I hope they saw that. That's two. I looked on the conveyor, and there was a blank. Was working at that moment. But then something strange happened. Something really strange happened. All of a sudden, the whole building shook. The whole building shook. I knew the potential of what could happen. On the other end where that chip went down in that big pipe, it would went down below the floor, then it would wide off into smallerness to 2 foot pipes. And I knew the potential and the danger of what was there. And the building vibrated and shook. That scared me. Didn't make any sense. Because the amount of time that I shut off the chips going to there, which I saw on the conveyor just a short blank place, that wouldn't make no difference at all. But what I didn't know, that down the big pipe came down and went into 2 smaller ones and went into the processing. One side was plugged with wood chips. I didn't know that. No way I could know that. Now, did my supervisor tell the operators at the operating panel, did he tell them that I was up there? Not to my knowledge. So, evidently, there was a plug, and it was only one side. So then, how do they get that plug out of there? They take this great big metal thing. Apart and unplug it? Nah, that's not how they did it. That isn't how they unplugged it. The operators will come down from the second floor, come up the first floor, and then they'd turn these valves and reverse the steam. And the steam would, instead of going this way, it would go that way. And all of that wood chips and all of that plug would come back out my way. It would come back and blow back into where I was. They didn't know I was up there. So that's what happened. That loud noise and all that vibration, they were reversing the steam and blowing the plug out and blowing it back out where I was up inside the building. I was the only one up there. So as I stood and realized, I thought, that can't be. Electrically, that just don't make any sense. But I didn't know there was a plug. I didn't know it was a plug. So then something told me, this something came in my head and told me, well, just walk over there and look down inside that pipe. There's that big pipe, big opening, 5 or 6 feet. Something kept thumping me in the head. Well, just go ahead and look down inside there. Go on. Down the other end, they were reversing the steam, and all that was going to come back out my way. Something was telling me here, look down in there. So I went over. I looked down in the hole, and I could see that paddle turning. The level indicator was working. Days before that, when I had this dream of when I was in God's Acres, and when that happened, it was so far out of the norm, nothing normal about it. Then I realized that there's something that isn't right, something going on I didn't know. So then it hit my mind that I can't look down in there because I know the danger. If there's a plug here and they reverse that steam, I'm going to get in the face. I'm going to get hit. So then, like I've already said, I knew what was going to happen here, but I didn't know when because I didn't know for sure there was a plug down. I didn't know for sure they were reversing the steam. I didn't know that. There's no way I could have known there. Nothing but electrically or any other way would have told me that. So then, for some reason, I looked down in the hole, looked down in that pipe. And when I did, steam pressure, 165 pounds per square inch. You know how much pressure that is? There you go. That's a square inch. Okay. 165 pounds per square inch. Come right back out at me. And there I was with my head down over that pipe. And it hit me right in the face. It hit me right in the face. And there I was down over top of it, and something, I still don't know, something I felt like there was something holding my head down over that pipe. When the blast hit me in the face, I had cotton gloves on. I put the gloves up to try to protect my face. Something. I had said something that I shouldn't have said. This happened weeks before. I said something that I shouldn't have said. I have a shoe, I had trouble with one of my shoes, I had something in it, and one of my socks had a hole in it, and I made this statement. This is why we gotta be careful what we say. Saved, not saved. God hears everything. And I said, look at that, these are my church socks, they're holy. God heard that.
You don't think you can upset God?
Yes, you can. We can say things that will upset God. We must be careful what we say and what we do. I learned a hard lesson right there. And when the blast hit me in the face, and I was being hit with it, so and burned, I could feel the burn. And then when I fell down to my knees. And I'm up here by myself. Nobody could help me. There was no human could help me. This thing was wrong. The closest illustration I can give to you, if you're behind a jet engine, okay, maybe from here to the wall, okay, you would feel the heat, right? You would feel the heat from the steam of the jet engine. This wasn't nearly that hot, but it was very hot. It's the steam. So then I thought, when I got hit, I went to my knees, and I was kind of back in a corner, and I realized I'm in trouble. If I open my eyes, I lose them that fast. The steam was roaring. The steam and the chips were just going all over the place. If I open my eyes, I lost them that fast. So I knew if I breathed. So I got down close to the floor, and the steam was just blowing everywhere. And the wheel and the small chips were just everywhere. So I was down on my knees, and my mother, you know what came to my mind? My mother told me this when I was just a kid. When I was young, 8, 10 years old, she said, if you ever get someplace where there's nobody there to help you, you call on God. You call on God. There I was. How did I get to where I did? How did I get there? I put me there. I was the reason I was down on my knees. I was the reason what was happening was me. So then, as I took my gloves and I put them all around my face, trying to protect my face, and I could feel the steam burning my face. Burning my face. Nothing I could do but wonder what mother taught me. I called on God. I said, God, help me. I heard a voice in here. I didn't know God's voice. I didn't know it was God, but I heard the voice. And the voice said, keep your eyes closed, keep your mouth closed. So there I was on my knees, I keep my eyes closed and my mouth closed and doing everything I could. Not to breathe. So then, I just had to breathe. I had just that much. I had no idea the damage. I did not know the damage that was done to my mouth and to my face. And as I was there on my knees, God came to help me. The next thing I knew, I wasn't back in a corner. I was standing over in the aisleway. And that voice came to my head again, and the voice says, open your eyes. Open my eyes. Open your eyes. I didn't know that God sent an angel right out of heaven. And the angel picked me up, carried me over top of the conveyor, and stood me in the aisle. Here I am, I'm over in the aisle, and then 2 years later, I find out how I got over there. So here I am standing in, and the Lord says, open your eyes. So I open my eyes, and it's still steam and chips and everything roaring and blowing. And I could see the hole in the floor and the ladder, the only way out there. But then somebody had a hold of my arm. I felt something. Had a hold of my arm. And I noticed up here, I saw a real, I could see a real bright light. Really bright light. Something had a hold of my arm. And I tried to turn my eyes and look. And the angel wouldn't let me see. Yeah, that's what it was. The angel had a hold of my arm. He picked me up. He had a hold of my arm, hold of my boy, he picked me up. You know how we walk? What's the first thing that hits? Our heels, right? Right, when we're walking, our heels hit, right? The angel picked me up and carried me through the air all the way down to the end where that hole in the floor in the ladder was. He carried me through the air. Just picked me up. That's not too hard for angels. Took me over to the ladder, put my hand on that ladder. See the scars? Some of you can see the scars. Second, third degree burns. When the blast hit me, I went like this. And the steam got in there and burnt the skin. Second, 2.5, not almost 3, third degree burns. The angel put me on the ladder and he's gone. So I started going down the ladder. Scared to death. And I could hardly hit the rungs with my feet, and I just kind of skipped and just all the way down. I finally made it down the end of the ladder. I laid down on the top of the roof. I land there on my back, and I lift the gloves, and right on where my fingers are, was smoking. I had the glove, I had it on my face, trying to protect my face when the blast hit. So I was laying there, burnt, had no idea how badly I was burned. So then the electrician I was working with, he come up. He saw me, went down and got some help. They took me to a hospital, which was right close to there. Wasn't there very long, and I could see they didn't know anything about burns. So then, the way they were talking, they just didn't know anything about burns. There wasn't a burn ward. So then, I told them I want to go to Columbus, so they put me in an ambulance. I was on the way to Columbus in an ambulance. You ever ride in an ambulance? Yeah, you ever riding on the night? No sirens, but I assure you the lights were on. The driver, knowing we were in the Army together. And I was laying there. Major hurt. Then the driver said, Randy, he said, just lay there. Will you just start driving? This guy's driving. Now I know this man. He said, just lay there and be quiet. Just try to be quiet, can you? And then something else happened out of nowhere. My face began to swell. My face and my head was swelling. By the time we got to the hospital, my head was big as a basketball. My both ears were two big blisters. And I was getting to the place going to the hospital, I could hardly breathe. They put an oxygen mask on me so I could breathe. They took me into the hospital there, the Riverside Hospital, they took me in ER. And they were trying to help me. There I was lying there and my men, I don't, you, When you're injured, time doesn't, you can't contact time. You don't know time. So then I was laying there, and the next thing I know, I could hear my family talking. My family had come. And then something, another strange thing happened. Somebody came in the room, and he said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I thought this is the room for Andy Dinger." And so my members, my family said, "Yeah, that's him." My eyes were loose, clear back in my head. My eyelashes could barely stick out. My lips were turned wrong side out. My head was big as a basketball. My ears were two big blisters. Both ears were two big blisters. The skin was burnt off and rolling back on my neck. And that man who came in there was my boss. When he saw me, I knew his voice. Oh, he let out a terrible sound. Oh, no! He cried out. You see, the way of salvation for me here, the way God wanted it. You know God's way? It's what you're doing. Go to church. You got a need, you're not saved, get out of your heart. Don't do it right. Don't do it through about the tenderest way. Don't do it the hard way. When God talks to you, do what he tells you. It's for your benefit. It's for your benefit. He always wants to help us. God's attitude is that way. So then they took me out of the room. They put me on the gurney and wheeled me out. And I was in the hallway. I was trying to get my eyes open. By that time, they gave me some morphine, so I wasn't in very much pain at all. So then they put me in a room, and then going down the hallway, I was trying to open my eyes, and there was a woman that I passed. I saw her, and she looked. When she saw me, she went, "Oh!" My head was this big. My lips was turned wrong side out. My eyes were so swollen. It just pushed my eyelids just a wee little bit. Of my eyelashes was sticking out. My brother took a picture of me. I don't have a picture anymore. I'm sure that it wouldn't take so long. Anyway, I went down, they put me in the room. And while I was in the room there, then my wife came. Time. Don't know how long it took, how long it was. So I was there, and that was on a Saturday when I was burning. It was a Tuesday. This was in the middle of January. It was cold. So as I lay there, and going back to when I was laying there and my boss came in, let me go back to that. I realized right then that I was burned. I was hurting bad. And I laid there, and when I realized from what my boss and how he reacted and what I looked like, I didn't know what he knew. He saw me. And then the Lord, and I panicked. You ever panic up here? You ever panic up here? I panicked.
And the precious God came to me and he says,
"Get a hold of yourself." Here comes this voice again. "Get a hold of yourself. Get a hold of yourself." And he gave me the strength to be able to do just that. Some time went by. The Lord was still talking to me. So then I told my wife, I said, would you have Emerson Wilson come over here? Call Brother Wayne, Emerson Wilson, have him come over here. So Brother Emerson come over, and he talked to me. God gave him a yam. He talked to me. I asked God to forgive me. What happened? He saved me right there. He saved me right there. Look what all I went through because I didn't obey God. See how important it is to obey God? I just did not. I didn't. Well, it's easy to say. The devil wants to say, well, now you was bound in sin, and that's just the way you. That's true. But I still suffered the secular consequences because I didn't do what the Lord told me to do. Brother Emerson prayed for me. He saved me. He did some amazing things. The Lord did some amazing things in the hospital. The doctor I had was the best. I had the best doctor in Columbus. He was a plastic surgeon. His name was Arthur Bing. This guy was half Indonesian, half Chinese. And he'd come in, he'd look at me, and he'd look at my face, and he would examine me, and he'd say, Randy, your ears, they are super. They are super. You want to win? You want to win? I said, that's the handiwork of God. The doctor's going to have to draw a skin on my ears. When God's in control. A bird doesn't fly through the air. An apple doesn't fall on the ground unless God says, so be it. What have you learned? When God talks to you, are you going to put yourself in a position the way I did? Are you going to do that? You're smarter than that. I know you. I know you. You've learned too much. You're smarter than this. When God talks, just do it. It's going to be for your benefit. It's going to be for your help. When God talks to you, listen to Him. Try that spirit. Know that spirit is God. There is no better life than what we have right here. There is no better life. There is nothing else on this earth even close to what we have here. Certainly.